Yeah, it's amazing how fast you can get things up and going. And so talk to me
That's the
about
goal.
this dynamic schema.
Okay. So when we kicked off the project, we spent a lot of time trying to kind of get into the mindset of the app developer. We went to hackathons in San Francisco and like coded
Yeah.
through the night on iOS, on our Macs, and with the Android crowd as well. And we really tried to get into their mindset and understand what it meant to be a modern app developer. And that's where we found out about like core requirements. And we started to talk to them about storage. And we found this big attraction and affinity between mobile app developers and NoSQL stores like MongoDB and React and these things. And as we pressed on that more and more, we said, why do you like this stuff so much? And we found one of the things was just the lack of impedance. It's like zero friction development. I just knew up my store and I start throwing objects at that thing and I'm away. Now there's
And it just
pain after
takes it,
that.
right?
It just takes it. There's no schema, there's no data modeling step or this big upfront design. I can just get coding. Zero impedance, zero friction. That's kind of what we're all about in Sumo. The more we spoke to them, we then asked them about their pain points. And of course, things like reporting and being able to do complex queries. And we're thinking, well, SQL's great at that, but it
Performance and
isn't.
scaling, yeah, sure.
Exactly. But it isn't so awesome at the kind of zero friction entry point. If our conversation was, so now go to SQL Management Studio and start building out your data model and your constraints. And so we wanted to remove all of that. So there's two ways we did it. We added the most common functions to the portal. So you can create tables and add indexes and so on right there in Windows Azure portal. Also,
Through the web portal, so I can
through the
just
web.
log in and do it right there. I don't have to use SQL Management Studio.
That's exactly right. Now,
However, I could use SQL Management Studio if
yeah,
that's what I'm into.
absolutely. Absolutely, it's your database. So it's completely, so your BI, your reporting, you can just hook up to that thing and do all that stuff as normal. But we wanted to have that zero friction feel. And so we added this layer called dynamic schematization. And what that does is when you pass objects to the mobile service, it will see whether the column already exists. And we do this in an efficient way. And if it doesn't, we'll add the column in the fly. So we'll dynamically schematize your database. And it's really a lot of fun to work with that. And you can go in and delete columns later if you didn't, if you created one by accident. And you can turn it off. So
But if
you
you're prototyping or you're building a proof of concept or whatever, you can just lay it down
It's
almost as
great.
fast as you can type it. You've got it going.
Exactly. It's a lot of fun. It is really great
And
to.
from a best practices point of view, you have to expect to come back and clean it up a little bit, right?
Of course, yeah. But
Yeah,
you must
no. Yeah.
do that to the NoSQL store.
And just to be super clear about the data side, mobile services is not like a reinvention of Windows Azure database or a SQL database, right? You're just using it. This is a window into SQL into Windows SQL Azure into Windows Azure SQL database. I'm gonna get it right.
Yeah,
I mean, you guys didn't rewrite it, is my point.
there's a way we think about that. So when we spoke to those people, when we did our reach out to customers, they had a lot of requirements around identity and storage and messaging, and Azure already had them all. But we found that a lot of these personalities we're talking to, the groups and individuals, either didn't have the time to go and learn all the Azure infrastructure to pull it together. I mean, it's incredibly powerful, but we had the capabilities. And so when we built mobile services, we said this is a thin veneer across the top of those services, which is an additional, not a replacement, an additional way to access those services.
It's giving you all of those services. Now, Paul, tell me, I'm going to access my data through mobile services. And what am I really using? Is this an OData feed, or is this something?
Yeah.
What is
So,
it?
are we exposing like what's really quite a straightforward HTTP API? That it's an endpoint that you can talk to that. Gives you access to the data, it lets you read and write the data. When you're looking at the data itself, it's really just in a JSON format. So we're mostly reading data out of your database and serializing it to JSON and vice versa. There is one small connection with OData in that when you query your data, you need to have some sort of way to express the query, right? It's going to be an HTTP request. You need to say, I want to take this many rows, I want to skip this many, I want to filter on these things. We use OData's query language for that. So you would have like a query string which says dollar filter, my ID needs to be this, and so on. So that's the like one connection with OData, but that's really just about querying. Otherwise, it looks very much like a normal HTTP API in that when you are inserting data, it's a POST. When you're deleting data, it's a delete, typical HTTP stuff.
So All right, so with mobile services, now I have easy access into my data. Beautiful. I also have easy authentication. Now I can do push notifications.
Yep.
Now I know you're still in preview, Paul, so I can't ask you like what it's going to cost, but didn't I hear Scott Guthrie say that the first 10 are free? Is that right?
Yeah, so that's correct. At the moment, if you just sign up for a Windows Azure free trial or whatever, that'll last 3 months, and as part of that, you're able to create 10 mobile services. The only limitation, really, other than the count of them, is your egress. You end up paying when you use Azure. You end up paying for how much data is sort of leaving the data center, The limit is around 160 megs a day or something like that. But other than that, there really isn't much in the way of restriction for you.
If you look at what you're actually sending over the wire, 165 megabytes a day out from Azure to wherever your clients are is actually a pretty big number. If you're beating that, you're probably ready to make some money anyway.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah. Especially for mobile devices, right?
Yeah.
What are the options then? Josh, let's say I've put this together and mm-hmm. I'm using my first 10 and my second one, let's say, is really kicking it and it's just awesome. Yep. And is there some sort of a ceiling that mobile services hits and now I need to go get my own server?
No. You can actually do that in mobile services, right? You can go to our scale tab and go to dedicated VMs. Now, at that point, it's not free, but you can scale at the moment during the preview up to 3 VMs, and that's going to handle it's a stateless middle tier that we have, so it's going to handle a pretty large amount of throughput. It's going to scale up pretty well. You're going to be able to take a lot of traffic on that. We actually already have some big customers which we didn't expect, actually, because we kind of focused on a different type of audience when we built mobile services.
Right,
but you're surprised how many big guys, big customers, like TV companies and stuff that are coming to us saying, you know what, we want to use this for our app because it's just going to save us a whole bunch of time. And so we already have people building production apps that are going to run on mobile services when they launch very soon around the Windows 8 launch date.
So I could start when I'm working with Windows Azure, I could start with a whole bunch of instances and I could do everything, but then again, I could start with mobile services, get it done fast, get everything the way I want it, and as I'm getting to that point where I need all that extra compute and all this other business is going on because I'm so successful, this is my on-ramp into the full-blown feature set of Azure, right?
That's right. It's that. The other good thing about mobile services is that we really have focused on being a composition story. So let's say you have a requirement that's like you want to OCR some image and you're going to do that yourself with some nice algorithm you've written. You're probably not going to do that in a JavaScript scriptlet that runs in mobile mm-hmm. services. But there's nothing stopping you composing mobile services with other services. I mean, ideally in Azure, but not constrained to that because we have a HTTP API, which is all documented up on Windows Azure. We also have the way in which we sign our authentication tokens. We share with people the way that works. So we give you a secret that you can use to sign your authentication tokens. And essentially, it's very easy to compose mobile services with other services, both things reaching into mobile services and mobile services reaching out to other Azure services or anything with a HTTP API. I mean, just a week or so ago, we did a cool demo where mobile services was calling Bing Image Search to find images that matched a particular term. And that was like an example of, well, this is something that would be hard to do inside mobile services. So you can reach out and you can integrate with anything. HTTP is the kind of modern stack, right? And so we've made that pretty easy to consume from mobile services.
Yeah, so I mean, to carry on from Josh's example of are you doing this sort of the OCR algorithm or something like that, you'd stand up a web role or a worker role in Azure, and
That's
it'd be very
great.
Easy, right, for your, like in a script, if you wanted to, when somebody goes and inserts some data, just go and kick that off, you just do an HTTP request from your script with like a line of code to the web role that you had running to go and do the job. So it'd be very easy to glue that together using things.
Yeah, that's the composability, right? Yeah. And you start calling out to those however you want. That totally makes sense to me. All right, Paul, let me go back to what we were talking about. So you get the first 3 months, and you have what happens on the fourth month? Are those 10 still going to be free? I mean, that's the common question that I get, you know?
Josh, do you actually know the answer to this one?
Yes, sir. So all I can commit to right now is that it's going to be free for the life of our preview. So until we go to GA, we guarantee that 10 mobile services are for free. Now, I will add to that that it was a core goal of us that we would offer some mobile services for free, so we would very much like to keep it that way. I can only commit to it being free during the public preview, but it's free for as long as that thing's in preview for sure.
Yeah, that makes
sense. So it's not a problem that your trial has expired because you're still not using anything that actually costs. Right. So mobile services stay free while we're in the preview.
Yeah, the exception is your SQL database. That is your SQL database. So that is bound to the free trial. We're working on all these things to make it so that you can just have a mobile service for free perpetually. I just can't promise anything today.
Yeah, that's all right. We're still in preview. Things are still getting worked out. And no, who knows what we're going to call it? We have to add four or five more words to it before we really get it.
That could